Okay, lady, now let's get information. I say, okay, lady, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious, less revenge is your paper.
Hello everyone, it's your girl, the Thick Writer Chick, coming at you again, and today we are dating? Lord. Today we are discussing the topic, do we know how to date? So with all of the hot takes and skits and other things that people constantly are held in a chokehold by, the observation I have taken from it all is that we as a society, especially as a culture, we may not really know how to date. So, or what we know may possibly need to be unlearned. So that's going to be the topic today. And all of my guests, we're going to start going clockwise. If you could just introduce yourself, and if you have a platform you would like to plug, go ahead and do that as well.
Hi, I'm Keisha Smooth, and I'm Keisha Smooth on all social media platforms.
Hi, I'm Carmen. I'm actually Jordan's sister, and I'm As Carmen TV on all platforms.
And of course, I'm DJ Steady. Are you ready? Host of Who They Want podcast, available on all platforms.
All right. Thank you guys for introducing yourself. If you're joining us on Facebook, come on in, have a seat, and also, you know, just make some comments. I will be reading them. And if you have any questions, ask them there. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks so much. It is public. So if you guys want to share it, it is available. All right. So my first question for my panel is, if you were on a speed date, what 5 questions would you ask to know if you should move forward with that person or not? Speed date. Who wants to go first?
Well, I actually have gone speed dating before. I don't remember exactly what I said that day, but now thinking, I would first ask, are you actually single? Before we even get any further with it at all. Because a lot of people who are trying to date are not even single. So are you actually single? Are you hoping to date with intent to get married? Do you have any children? Would you like to have more? Have you ever been married? Have you ever been arrested?
So that's your 5?
Yeah.
Okay, DJ Steady, what would be your 5?
Okay, my 5 would definitely be, what are your expectations in a relationship? Of course, are you single for sure? 3 would have to be, like, what are your long-term and short-term goals as this progresses? 4 would be, what is your idea of the perfect first date? And then I would conclude with 5 of, do you have plans on having children if you don't have so already?
Okay. Keisha?
Okay, my 5 would be, 1, what is your lifestyle status as far as your, what relationship are you looking for? Are you poly? Are you single? Are you, I would want to know that. 2, I would want to know, are you, have you ever been convicted of a crime? 3, I would definitely want to know, when did your last relationship end? Because some of them end and they're still not ended. So 4, I would want to know, what are you looking for when finding a partner? And 5, I would definitely want to know your status up front. And when I say status, I would like to know if you've had any, you know, communicable diseases, are you HIV positive, are you not? Give me a choice on if I want to move forward. Don't tell me your status 6 months down the line.
That's fair. I think you all had really good questions. I'm going to change one of mine really quickly because I guess I'm the type of person, I come into certain things, not assuming, but you would hope that the bare minimum of someone who is trying to date is at least not in a relationship. But, you know, sometimes you do have to ask those things. So what did I put? I put, well, first off, do you date people with children? Because if the answer is no, well, you know, what do you hit, like a bell?
Right.
2, are you in a comfortable state in your life financially? You know, are you generating income? Do you have a job? Because, you know, that's just, yeah. What are your views on women? You know, if you do not really like women, or if you think all B's ain't S, no need for us to exchange numbers. How do you resolve conflict and issues with others? Are you a yeller? I need to know that now. And please be honest, because if I ask you these questions and then your actions do not line up with them, that would be what we call a red flag. But anyway, so I'm going to change number 5, which is what are your hobbies and interests, to are you actually single?
Right.
Are you actually not in a relationship? So that would be. So I think you guys have really good questions. I'm always going to speed date, so that's something I might try. But okay, so what are some not so great ideas about dating has society given to us, or have we given to society? What are some not so good ideas that are out there?
Well, right now, like before we came on, you also mentioned somebody wanting their money back for a date or whatever. I feel that people are skipping dating altogether. They're wanting to know for sure that things are going to work out before they spend any money. And I'm sorry, sir. I don't even know you at all. The dating is made for us to get to know each other.
Hello.
Now, if they want to take it a step further, which I think people are skipping this too, like the questions we just asked, I think that would be more of vetting, like, yeah, before and go out.
Agreed.
Let's see, are we on the same page? So people still have the option to do that. If you're not sure you want to spend your $17 on me, you know, we can chitty chat real fast. And if you mention you're tight on cash or something like that, then hey, no need for us to even.
That's why one of my questions was, are you comfortable financially? Because if $17 is setting you back, I don't think you should be dating. And I know it's some people are like, it's the principle, but yeah.
So, I mean, even. Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I was saying your name to ask you what you thought.
Okay. So even with dating, I think it should be agreed upon. Either we're going Dutch or, you know, I have the date. Even if you have the date, don't fold on the person if something doesn't work out the way you think it should work out. Like maybe like she was texting. If she texts a friend, because sometimes you're texting to let people know you're safe,
yeah,
or your location. So I wouldn't hold it against a person if they let somebody know where they were on a date with a stranger or somebody that they were vetting.
Right.
I'm okay with a person texting when we're on a date. Just don't be constantly texting. But I do think it should be agreed upon. Are we going Dutch, or are you paying, or am, yeah, I paying? How are we going to do this date thing? Let's not wait till the check get here and we figure it out there. Let's figure it out before we get there.
Agree, for sure. That's one thing I wrote down, is to vet and ask uncomfortable questions before you even get to the date. And I'd hate to quote Kevin Samuels, may he rest in peace, but even he agreed that some of y'all would not be getting played out of your money for dates if you were asking the right questions before you even went on the date.
Right.
So ask those questions. Hey, are you comfortable with a man paying for the date? Are you okay with Dutch? Do you mind if we go on a free date? And that way you won't be caught by surprise when I suggest all ladies always bring your money, period. Because you don't know this person and you don't know how they will respond. So always be prepared to pay for yourself in exit stage left if you need to. But that's just a sidebar. But yeah, I would say asking those uncomfortable questions up front. Society has kind of given us the idea throughout history, due to patriarchy, that men are supposed to pay for dates. But there are a lot who don't want to do that anymore. So it should be established up front, you know, like she said, before we even go on the date, what kind of dater you are, to avoid wasting your time. DJ, you got anything?
I mean, what more do I need to add? Y'all pretty much summed it all up in one statement. There's nothing. It needs to be clarified. Like, you don't set a 5-star date with a $20 budget. Like, you need to clarify.
Okay. Josh says, one of my favorite questions used to be, what is something positive you can say about your last relationship? And that, I'm kind of that person too. I do ask, if you have children involved, what is your relationship like with the children's mother? And I listen for the answer. What, you know, your last relationship, how did that go? What do you think of her? I ask those kind of questions too, and I do move accordingly when I hear the answer. Donnie says, always, that's something every father should teach their daughter. Yes, always, ladies, have your money either way. So that way you're not obligated to, if you're not enjoying the evening or if you feel unsafe and you want to leave and not give him any reason to contact you, here's my half of the 2 for $20. Have a good night.
So, right. And I want to add something else. When you go on a date and you're not sure, order something reasonable. Like, don't go order a $500 meal or a $100 meal and make the person that you're on the date with, even if they say they have the date, mm-hmm. it may make them uncomfortable that you're over ordering or you're ordering only the expensive things on the menu. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of that on social media where the guys are backing out because the ladies are ordering things that are outrageous. Yeah. I mean, order something reasonable.
Yeah, I agree with that. I usually try to keep it with the idea of, okay, if he, you know, has a heart attack or something, if right. something happens where he can't pay for it, can I cover my meal? So I agree with that. I do think some of that we see on social media is skits. Okay. A lot of skits and hot takes. Like that whole Cheesecake Factory thing was a skit and it's becoming law. But in real life, I don't really recall a time I went on a first date, and even several dates. Like, we can be in a relationship, but everyone's different, so I'm not a monolith. But more often than not, women, to my knowledge, are not just breaking, you know, $200-$300 on a first. But I mean, it depends. Everyone's different, and I'm not a monolith. But I agree. A good way to keep things in perspective, if I cannot cover it, if for some reason he cannot, I'll just some other time for that. So those are some of the not so great ideas that society has given us about dating. What are some things we may need to unlearn about dating that really hasn't benefited our culture?
Going on a date does not automatically equal a relationship.
I actually wrote that down.
Going on a date does not automatically equal any type of physical interaction afterwards. I think, and I don't want to speak for all the guys, but it seems like the guys are upset because they're putting money out but not getting anything in return. Okay. But you're getting to spend time with someone and get to know this person. So I actually love to date. I'm taking a break right now, but last summer I started back. And to me, it's not hard. I mean, it's fun. It's just being honest with myself about who I'm dating. So I think a lot of times women, not all of us, but we may come in with like high hopes. Like, this is it. Finally, here I am. My man, my man, my man.
This is definitely my sister, because a lot of stuff she said I have written down. So, yes, yes. To piggyback off of her, currency does not equal sex, a relationship, or even a second date. I'm going to cut my camera off really quick to plug in my charger, but you guys can keep going, okay?
I agree that the bed and breakfast for the, you know, does not equivalent to a date. I think a lot of men do have the idea that if I take her to dinner, if I wine her and dine her, she owes me. So I'm fearful of dating in 2024. I'm fearful of accepting a drink from a guy when I'm out at a club, because everybody feels like you owe them, or that person is right there attached to you until they feel like that little $40 is up.
I agree.
So I'm fearful.
Scary, yeah. We do need to, that's one of the things I think we need to unlearn. Somewhere along the way, currency became equivalent with usually sex or with some kind of response or reward. But to piggyback off of what my sister was saying, I think the best way I've heard dating described was actually by Kiera Clark Sheard, who is a gospel singer. Mm-hmm. And she said that dating is just collecting the data. It's really just getting with this person to see if whatever your goal is, to see if there's any potential here to get to that goal with this person. So even if you don't get what you thought you were getting, you technically got what you paid for, which was the information. If your question was, can I have sex with this person? And you spent your $40 and the answer was no. You technically got what you paid for, which is the data. We have to learn. I wrote down entitlement. That needs to be unlearned in dating. with women. My sister made a valid point. With women, I think, and I've been guilty of this for many years, you come into it, you found someone who has potential, a good job, a good personality. The phone conversations have been going well. So now we're meeting in person and you coming in guns blazing. Like she said, yes, this is it, my man. And I, and it gets disappointing and you end up getting really heartbroken and distraught over something that was just supposed to be an interaction when he ghosts you or when things start to go left or when you stop hearing from that person as much. But this was just it's like a job interview. This really was just a meeting to see, hey, you, do we have anything in common to either move forward with sex or to move forward with a relationship or just be friends or be nothing? And if you are not getting, if you're not hearing from me anymore, technically you're still collecting the data. The answer is no. It stinks, but it's part of the process. I think that's another thing we need to unlearn, whatever it is we were taught dating is, and understand that it's a process. I call it the game, just in layman's terms. But that made that guy in our group uncomfortable. So the process of that, yeah, he did not like dating is not a game. And he was just, all right, cool. Does the word the process make you feel a little bit better?
I mean, there's a whole game show called The Dating Game. There's several... I don't know what you missed, pal, but you missed a lot.
So I understood what he was saying. It's not something that should be taken lightly. But you're absolutely correct. Be that as it may, it's still a process. And part, I wrote this down, part of dating is incompatibility and rejection. Be prepared for that. Mm. You won't feel so played out your $40 if you are, not to say you need to come into it like Eeyore and woe is me, this date's gonna be awful, I don't even know why I came, but come with the knowledge that
there's a chance
we may not be compatible.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's okay. I don't think people have to make the other person a villain or be upset or feel any type of way. We didn't fit. It was not a match. So I lean towards the show Next. I don't know if y'all remember. But to me, it's like Jordan said, like a job interview, because you get to hire and fire accordingly people in your life. And so if this person has asked me out, they're trying to show me that they should have a spot in my life. Well, if you come on the date talking about your ex, all sorts of wild shenanigans you got going on. I mean, whatever. If we're not a good fit, we're just not a good fit.
And that's okay. Yeah.
That's okay. I don't feel bad about it. You know, thank you for the nice evening. Best of luck to you out there in your future endeavors. And no hard feelings. We didn't make it
work out. Yeah.
Right. You got to get rid of that reality TV section of we got to throw a temper tantrum and you got to be all out your name and I got to be X, Y, and Z. And it just has to end on a bad note. Because sometimes you can actually find a great friend in the midst of that might want to be like, hey, me and you may not be compatible, but I got this friend that kind of met your interest that maybe y'all could work it out. Like, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader, even if we didn't work out.
Yeah,
that's great.
I agree. And I'm not going to sit here like that wasn't me, because like I was saying, a lot of this stuff you have to grow and experience and get older to kind of learn. When I was younger, like my sister said, not necessarily a tantrum, but it would be really distraught because like, man, I found this guy, you know, a needle amongst the haystack, and yes, it's going to work. And then it doesn't. And it's like, you know, heart broke. What did I do wrong? What's going on? Why do I always get the short end of the stick? When if I had have kind of looked at it like, okay, him and I are not compatible. It doesn't make him a villain. It doesn't make me, you know, it doesn't make this a bad thing. We just weren't right for each other and move along to, I hate to say contestant number two, but moving on to person number two.
Next. And okay, it's fine. I think that's the part that the question you asked earlier, what do we, society as a whole, need to unlearn or this, like, it's okay. If you go out, you meet someone, you don't get married, it's fine. There's so many stages here. I mean, and even when you said about going to the next person, that's a real big thing as well, because a lot of times we'll go out with someone and we know it's not a match. This is not going to work out.
But
see the potential and try to force a connection when this person is not a good fit. The potential that you're seeing is what you would do in their shoes. They're doing what they would do. So it took me a while to start to see things that way. And like I say, it may seem rude. I've been called names, but I'm not anywhere that I know I don't belong. And I think having, I don't want to say wasted years, but been other places where I didn't belong for a long time, I think that's what I'm saying now. Being honest, taking inventory of what I'm actually seeing. Okay, I'm seeing X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
There's no denying what I'm seeing right here. So I need to just accept these red flags as deal breakers instead of trying to, he's got potential.
Quick, Mr. Donnie had a comment. Is dating actually to find out about them or to see where we are in our growth process? I honestly think some growing should be done when you are single. And that's another podcast I'm going to do for another day. But what were you doing during your single season? Because is it fair to use others who may be ready and their labor for self-development?
Right. The past dates should have been learning experiences.
Right. What were you doing when you was
Your
not
past,
in a relationship for the past year?
Right.
Him or her.
Your past dating scene should definitely be a learning experience.
Right. If you've been not dating for 4 and 5 years and now you're doing all this self-discovery, is that really fair to that other person who was doing what they were supposed to be doing when they were single?
It's not. And I actually experienced this exact thing that you're talking about. Again, last summer, during the summer of love I was on. But great guy. We made a match. So I thought we talked for hours. We talked like all night and all day the first few days that we met or whatever. Everything was going great. Until randomly he has a panic attack and has to pull over. You know, he's talking about he needs a sip of water. He goes into Waffle House, all this yada, yada, yada. I'm in the passenger seat confused because I didn't know you had control over a panic attack. You're still driving and talking. And okay, but whatever's going on, that's on you. So he comes back and he says, if it would have been the other way around, he would have grabbed me, which it was like a choke slam across the car, but you know, moving on. He grabbed me and said that I should have been there for him to help him calm down. I said, I cannot regulate your emotions for you. That's on you. And I'm going to give you the space and time you need to collect yourself. And we stopped dating because what is this?
That was pre-narcissism is what that was.
Most definitely.
And why don't I know about these? Now, had you told me ahead of time, you may occasionally have epilepsy or whatever. I would have been a little more prepared.
But I would have took the keys. We would have drove my car.
Right, but you didn't prepare. You didn't do your part. So now you're mad at me because I didn't show up for you like you expected. Expectations is another thing. I think DJ said it. Expectations is another thing we need to unlearn. Because how do you expect me to be your primary care physician, and I don't even know you have these panic attacks.
Like, what was the trigger? What was the trigger for the panic attack? Can we discuss this?
You saw Waffle House, and then all of a sudden, yeah.
I don't know.
Bad reaction.
Waffle House.
Was it the pothole in the road? What was the trigger? You know, like there was a conversation that should have been had before you could emotionally be there for that person. So I feel like that person was definitely out of line for saying if it was the other way around. If it was the other way around, it seems as if he would have played on your emotions and did a lot of manipulation.
Yeah. Oh my.
I feel like the whole thing was like Jordan said about the skits. I think it was a real life skit that I was I was sitting in on, and maybe he's trying to how I was.
Right. Again, a thing you gotta unlearn. People can't be giving us these tests and expecting us to pass these tests when we're guaranteed to fail. I was testing you to see how you was gonna react to me having these type of moments. You can't just sporadically do that. You gotta let me know in advance that, hey, I'm prone at this time of the day to just freak out, and you just have to deal with it for like 30 seconds.
If you're a mental health patient, let me know this up front so you know we can find out what the coping skills are. I don't know.
Yeah, and see if that person wants to deal with it.
That definitely was not fair to you.
No,
that was not fair to you.
That's part of the hard question thing. you got to ask this stuff up front. Look, I have XYZ, and sometimes I XYZ. Is that something you would be comfortable with dealing with? Or, and if the answer is no, be prepared to receive whatever that answer is, because here's the thing. I have to agree with DJ with the quizzes thing, with the test thing. Mm-hmm. I'm already in school, and that is where I take my test. If there is something that you would like to
me
know,
too.
We are both adults.
Just ask me.
Here's the thing. Ask me. And when life presents the opportunity to show you whether I was telling the truth or not, pay attention, and there's your answer to the test. So if what happens when life presents this opportunity, my words don't line up with my actions, then you can move accordingly. But infiltrating a test, making something up, oh, I was just testing you. I was gonna pay for the check, but I was just trying to see what you was gonna do. You could have asked me up front, sir, what I would have done. And now what I'm going to do is block you.
Bam. And take your narcissistic cell phone and down the lane and find somebody else to play them tricks on.
To me, that's childish. That's childish to me.
Very childish. We're adults. Like, ask the hard questions, whatever they may be, because life is a long time. And if you're genuinely looking for a husband or a wife, don't be scared, because if the fear is, oh no, my questions might run the person off, then the questions are doing what they're supposed to do. It's a vetting process.
Yeah.
That was me. I used to not ask certain things because I don't want to run him off and he got potential. Okay, well, I need to know these things and they're important to me. So if running you off is what this question does, then I guess it did what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, being prepared for a different answer. You know, be prepared for no, or actually, let's stop this whole train. Let me off right here. When you do your vetting, your questions, you know, tests, if you will, or whatever, it may not go the way you had played it out in your mind, and this person doesn't want to go along for the ride, and so you just have to brace yourself for that too. So
yeah,
the other day I think you posted, or somebody was like, how are you able to let guys down, especially with women being killed and all this yada yada yada. I still with all that being said, I still don't feel the need to like string anybody along or pretend to like someone so they don't get upset. You know, yeah. I'll wait till we are
safe. Yeah.
Yeah. And let you know, hey, wonderful evening, but I don't really think we should continue on. Instead of now, 6 months later, here I am still hanging on when I knew on the first date it wasn't a good fit. So.
That's draining. That becomes draining. We have to establish, I think someone said it in the comments, about boundaries.
Yeah.
And knowing how far this train's supposed to go. Like, hey, I'm looking for a relationship. It don't have to be long term, because I'm still finding me out. I got a lot of baggage. I'm working on me. Like, my thing is accountability, for one.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to tell you from the gate, look, I'm working on me right now. I haven't dated in probably 10 years. So sometimes I'd be like, man, my conversations be pretty lame, because I'm like, I'm trying to get the gist of what makes you laugh, what not to repeatedly say, because sometimes you can get a bunch of okays and that okay become like, okay, find something else to discuss. And you have to work on communications.
Yeah.
Right? Some people are not just texters. Some people might actually just enjoy a random, hey, I just called you out the blue because I was just thinking about you, wanting to see how your day was going, and leave it at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you guys. Where did the way we date come from?
Well, honestly, I think what's really going on is that there needs to be a change on how we date. And so instead of us all collectively saying, hey, things have changed, we need to change the way we're doing this, people are like in between doing the old-fashioned way, mm-hmm. or the online, the skits. So it's kind of sloppy right now. I don't think we're just teaching each other, talking to, well, we're having this conversation tonight, but besides this, yeah. I don't think people are like, hey, this is what you should do, or this is what you should expect. So it seems like folks are just out here freestyling.
Huh? You know what, Carmen, yeah. makes a valid point. I had wrote down the church and entertainment, and with like 97% of the population being Christians, the church really does have a heavy influence on how people date and how they perceive marriage. And honestly, the first time I even heard a sermon about dating was Relationship Goals by Pastor Todd. Prior to that, I had never even heard of dating in a church setting before. So it's like, we know, well, they teach young people that it's better to burn than to, what is it, better to marry than to burn, so don't have sex. But no one's really giving any guidance to the young people, so they come off the porch not knowing how to date. And then you look at television, or you look at entertainment, and it's even worse. So there's no real guidance. And then, like she said, we're kind of stuck in between trying to get away from the ways of old and adapting to something new. And there are some people that, even though a thing is not working, like divorces at a 50% rate, that means if two couples get divorced, one is for sure, I mean, two people get married, one is for sure getting divorced. That's how bad the numbers are. But despite that, we don't want to let go of this non-working system, because a lot of it is fueled by religion. So we don't want to let go of this old way because it is all we know, even though we see it is not working. I just, you know, so what are your thoughts on that? Or do you all kind of feel similar?
I feel like the truth should be told when it comes to mirroring what we learn in church. A lot of times, if we go back and we investigate or look a little deeper into it than what we do outside of surface, we'll learn that Sister Odell was 3 months pregnant and had to get married before she was showing. So it's a lot that the church does not reveal to us about marriage, or the reason this person is married, or why they've been together for 30 years, or why they've been together for 50 years. They paint the picture to us as if this is how it's supposed to be. What is the backstory? What is the hidden secrets? What should I be looking for? Because if I look at the person that's been married for 50 years, I want to mirror that 50-year marriage. But I don't know anything about what that woman has been through, what that man has been through, or what there is that's keeping them together. What is the secret? What is the lie? What is the betrayal? What is the trust? We don't know. So I think that we're being taught surface, and we're not being taught in depth at all about relationships or marriage.
Oh, completely agree. That was a word in itself. And also, right. I think we need to unlearn, this is more so for women, but that their whole identity and value is wrapped up in their connection to a man. Like the other day on the internet, we had the wars, the single mom versus married mom wars that was going on Facebook. And I remember thinking, you would never see niggas doing anything like this. Like, I've never heard a man look at another man and be like, that's why you ain't got no wife now, bro. That's why you ain't got no kids now. Those are just insults that are reserved for women, because society has taught us, like I say, society in the church, entertainment, society has taught us that you're not really a whole woman if you don't have a husband. Like, you're still lacking something if marriage is not the goal. Whereas men respect other men for who they are and what they do, not so much their relationship status. So that's something we need to unlearn too, is that all a woman is, because that's what happens. That's what's pushing these good women into these horrible toxic relationships and making them stay. Because if I don't have a man, if I don't have a husband, what am I? This is what I've been taught forever, is after 18, you go get a husband. And even if I'm dealing with, like you said, even if behind the scenes I'm dealing with abuse, foolishness, extra babies and everything else, I'm not leaving because I have to keep up this
image. Yeah, got to keep up this image.
We need to unlearn that. The divorce rate is at 50%.
I agree with what everyone is saying, but I just keep thinking all of this comes back from like the times they want to go back to in the 40s and 50s, when if you did not have a husband, you couldn't own a home, you couldn't have your own bank account, you couldn't buy a car. But once women were given those rights and abilities and their own money, education, all that, you can be your own individual person outside of a husband. So even what I was about the dating needing to change, back then, a man needed to have a job.
Yes.
Hey, now you have a wife. That was it. We're like two generations removed from that, and men don't realize that we, or people don't realize we actually need to like each other, because we are forced to be together like we were in the past. In the past, we need to get together, we need to have kids or whatever. This is the only way things will work if we two get together. But now, this is an option for some people. I'm not obligated to be with someone just because I can't, I don't know, have a bank account without them. It's just so many different things. Like,
yeah.
things have changed, but we're not changing with the things.
Say it again. Anything that doesn't evolve dies. Everything has changed. Mm-hmm. How we cook food. Look at what we're doing now on this Zoom call. How we talk to people. Technology, it changes by the second. But for some reason, we think this old archaic system of not, like she said, winging it and not really having no structure is going to work for a that time doesn't exist anymore.
It's temporary. No, it's a facade. Definitely. And another thing we need to take away is that comfortability of, you know, when you playing matchmaker and you go, oh, she got the car, she got the crib, or vice versa. And you feel like that's my meal ticket to the top. Like you said, creating these images and making up this facade. Like you say, if I want to mirror, you know, Miss Annie's 50-year marriage, but like you say, you don't know how many abortions she had to deal with in that 50 years.
Anything.
You don't know. You know what I'm saying? There's so much stuff that we want to sit there and idolize. Like, we love Jay-Z, we love Beyonce, but now all of a sudden the new thing is what Krishan and Blueface got going on. Like, why is that becoming acceptable role modelism for what we want to mold a relationship for? Like, we should be authentic and rebuild the mold.
I think the influence. At one time, we only had the influence of our parents and our community. Now we have the influence from social media. We have a big society that's having everything to say. So I think it's the influence. We are exposed to more now than we were before. Okay. So the exposure to it is starting to take a toll on us. And we're saying, oh, my God, everybody's doing it. Why am I not? You know, so it's really influence. That's just like if you, and that goes back, that's another learned behavior. We're being influenced more than we were before.
You know what? And I think both are equally influencing, but only one is being real.
Right.
Krishan and, oh boy, are really showing us their dysfunction, whereas the Beyoncé's and Jay-Z's are still
are hiding.
Old school way.
They're hiding
everything
it.
Hiding. Under the rug. And if the old school couples, if y'all really want to help this generation,
tell
be
the truth.
Honest and be vulnerable. And we need to work on that in our community I mean, across many facets anyway, but especially with relationships and marriage. Like, you hiding things from the younger women, older women, and men alike is not helping, because where there is no guidance, people, like my sister said, people run free. We're just looking amongst each other and trying to figure something out. Whereas the elders ought to be reaching back and giving us some wisdom. And we the aunties and uncles now. So soon we're going to have to pause our own trauma and be reaching back to that younger generation and teaching them. But we're still having podcasts figuring out how to date at 30 plus. So we got to get it together quick to reach back and teach them, or else the cycle's gonna repeat itself. Just, so the older folks, they doing something, but we don't know because ain't nobody really saying nothing real. Well, let's figure it out over here and hope for the best. So somebody has to start being vulnerable and real about what actually is going on, and not just, you know, oh, that's my boo, that's my man, you know, that's my... What's
whatever we're gonna classify the title.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it went from being the traditional marriage to, oh, this is my sneaky link. And that became the norm forever. Like, for the last 5 years, that's been the norm. I don't think that should be the norm. I think that you trying to get your own person or get a like-minded person and work it from there should be what's going on, instead of everybody sleeping with everybody. He over here Monday, he over there Tuesday. I just feel like, I mean, even with the women, because it's some women that are like that too. They got a Monday through Sunday and it's not the same person. It's a revolving door. I think tradition has been lost with our generation. I think my generation was the last generation to have the moral status. I think anything after that, there is no moral status, no moral standards. I'm sorry. I don't think that they're there. I mean, just look at it. If you look at the generation right now, like, my son's 24. I have an 18 and a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between my 24-year-old and my 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They don't care the style of dressing, the way they talk. Everything is different, and it's only a few years gap between the two of them.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference. I think things are just getting lost along the way. No matter how much influence you have on a person, I still think that society is going to win in the end, because it's a bigger influence. It's a bigger platform.
Okay, I feel you on that. I will say this, though. I genuinely do not believe there's anything new under the sun. It might be going by a different name, but a sneaky link is not new.
Because right.
Granddaddy and grandmama, you know, they had them children that ain't really just related,
that ain't theirs.
You know, so they had that family on the other side of town too. They just didn't have social media and a better name for it, or a more catchy name for it. But
that name Jody.
A lot of that stuff is nothing new under the sun. I personally think the dating thing, I don't think society necessarily has to win, but the conversation amongst our culture, the normalized conversation would have to change. And also it starts at home. Before your son or daughter is somebody's boo or bae, they are your child.
Your child.
What are they getting off of the porch with? Are we teaching our young daughters to value themselves above what some little player that works at McDonald's spitting some garbage regurgitated lines can offer them? Or are we too busy with our own shit to do that? And same, and with our sons. And that's one topic I'm going to talk about one day, is are we raising them differently, which we are. But same thing with our sons. Are we worshiping them and revolving everything around them? Are we teaching them the entitlement? Because that entitlement spirit that sometimes is amongst men came from somewhere. Yeah. Like, my children have been hearing no since they were little. And something I've been very conscientious to tell them is, since they were little boys, and now they can recite it back to me, is people have the right to say no with what they stuff and themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That person doesn't have to give you a hug. They don't have to share their toys. And if that was being implemented in the children from small up to adulthood, we wouldn't have people coming on dates thinking that you owe me this because I spent $50, because I understand nobody owes me anything. But if you're not getting sent off the porch with that, you only have what society is telling you. And society is saying, if you spend money, you get coochie. So it really does. Like, I think we can do it, but the conversation would have to change unanimously, or at least overall, and we would have to start at home too.
I think with starting back at home, we would also have to evaluate, did this person, most of the time when they come from a two-parent household, they're more respectable, or towards women, and the woman towards a man. But when they come from that single parent household, we kind of run into some issues, because you have the mom and you've only mirrored the mom, and you haven't mirrored anything from a man. So you've listened to mom say, hey, you got to find a husband. You got to find somebody to take care of you. You can't do this by you. So it goes back to that, you know, what we're exposed to.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't necessarily believe, because, you know, like, President Obama came from a single mama home.
So
I think it really is what is being taught. And if there's a community, even if you don't have both parents in the home, is there a positive male role model that your son can see who is reinforcing that, hey, we don't talk to women like that?
Right.
You know, now if Uncle Ron, every time I see him, he got a new bee, he's calling women bees, then it doesn't, you know. Or if dad is in the home disrespecting mom, calling her a bee, if she picks up hand and foot after them, and they're not teammates, the child is going to emulate what it sees. So even if you don't have that two-parent home, if you can get some kind of community and stay consistent, like I said, I've been saying that to my boys since they were little, they can recite it to me back. So if they do go on a date with your daughter and be tripping, it's not because they were not taught, and no verbatim, that nobody owes them anything, especially their body. But we are so uncomfortable with having these conversations because our parents were uncomfortable having them with us. So like Carmen said, we're left to our own devices. Either people out here winging it and trying to figure it out, or we look into the church and the church nervous and they don't want to say too much to run people off and make them uncomfortable. And then there's entertainment. So you got Flavor Flav. You got I love New York. That's what I saw coming up with dating, like when I was crossing over from teenage to adulthood.
Right.
As opposed to, let me sit you down and tell you this. Do not ever take your behind on no show to compete for no man. You are the prize. You are valuable. You are a beautiful woman. But that's not what's being told at home. So you're going to go look for the love, period. And where you find it is where you're going to end up, even if it's toxic.
I agree. I love everything that tonight's discussion has been about, even when it comes to, you know, entertainment and our music and, you know, having more than one. You're not really the guy unless you got six of them around you and an expensive bottle, flashy car. You know what I'm saying? Like, we built, again, it goes with imagery. It goes with everything you all have just been saying. The imagery needs to be reconstructed. Like, it's just really bad.
Agreed. And it's hard. I know it's hard on men because, you know, whereas girls, it's absolutely understood that, oh, don't be a hoe. Don't be out here in these streets having sex. It's the opposite for men. You a lame if you're not getting any.
Oh, of course.
Know, if you, you know, the big dog with the multiple baby dad, multiple baby mamas is the big dog. He's the OG. And no one is saying, he's not being real about his situation. I'm up to my eyeballs in child support. I can hardly keep my lights on because every time I look up, another kid needs something. But you just putting out that big dog image, and now you're passing it down to the younger generations as law instead of the brother with the one wife. He gets called a simp. That's what happens. So we have to change the conversation intertwinedly in our community on both gender sides as well. You know, you see a young lady enjoying her life and not focusing on a man, don't bring it upon yourself to come over and be like, ooh, sis, the clock is ticking. Get your internalized misogyny on somewhere, because now she's going to rush and get with some joker just so because her clock is ticking, when we ought to be saying, this is the only time you're gonna be in your 20s. Enjoy your life, build a life you love, and when you have done that, be looking for a man then, and have these questions lined up because you do love your life. You don't want to just let any old thing in it just to say you have something.
Please.
But that's not what we were taught.
I've seen too much of that. It's destructive and it's toxic.
Very much so. Even in music, you know, we had, what was it, Shirley? Barbara? This is Shirley.
Yeah.
To have a piece of a man.
And then having no man at all. Yeah.
He's mine. You may have had him once, but I got him all the time. Even our music teaches us that just get you a nigga, even if it's a piece of him. And we need to unlearn that.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely need to unlearn that.
Honestly, just decentering romantic relationships altogether. Like, not that I'm against dating. I'm all for dating. But people need to have a life of their own outside of these relationships. Like you said, what were you doing in your single season? Right now, I'm doing random hobbies. I've taken some lessons and stuff. Just really trying to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
I want to do.
Got it.
It's really frowned upon, and I don't know why, but it's not, for me, it's not a, I don't know, it's on my list of things to do, but I've got, like, so many things I want to do, and so many experiences I want to have. I'm open to being in a relationship, but I don't wake up like, I need to find a man, and some people... That's what their whole life is about. And it's really strange to see, I guess, once you're on the other side of it. But
yeah, because I've been on both sides. Like she's saying, when I came off the porch, you know, I'm young, I ain't got no kids. I'm in college, these supposed to be days. I'm really making memories. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm 19. Your brain is not even fully developed yet. Like, what? And now that I'm, like she said, kind of on the other end of that, I'm more so thinking about when I'm an empty nester, what is that life going to look like? And am I going to be happy in it? And if there's a partner there, great. But I really would rather have a farm and a houseboat. So, like, when I see that 40-year-old, 45-year-old me, she looks a certain way. And if I happen to have a partner, he daggone sure better be enhancing the experience, as opposed to just having someone there to say, look, y'all, I'm married now. I say I was married, you know, so we ought to be teaching our young people that's something that I do. Whenever I talk to a younger girl, I'd be like, build a life you love first. And then when you are at a place, you're like, I love my life. I like my job. Everything I get up and do every day, I love myself. I look good. I'm feeling myself. Hey, I think I would like to share this with someone. Then find someone worthy to share that with.
Bingo, that's an added bonus, because you've already established, with or without this relationship, I can still pay my bills. Mm-hmm. I can still maintain a home. I can still maintain a 9-to-5. I can still take care of the kids. You have to establish that independence first. Like, we get so clingy to the point where it's like, I can't live without you. I can't eat, sleep, and breathe without you, that you forget how to just do normal, general functions. Yep. Such as even answering the phone and just saying hello.
Codependency. And it can become dangerous. Women have lost their lives.
Yeah.
In relationships. Men have too. So I'm not putting that down. But
it's vice versa. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's when it becomes scary. Because never let nobody be your life. Because what if they decide they don't want to fool with you tomorrow? So, but I'm sorry, we kind of got off track a little bit. You
know, we're right on point.
We technically are still talking about dating. So,
Steve Urkel Forrest Gump syndrome is real,
baby. And we idolized Steve. We felt sorry for Steve when in real life he was somebody who couldn't accept his no and move on. She don't want
shut up. I didn't need to hear that right now.
I mean, but it was.
Right. Well, he couldn't.
Steve was couldn't very accept, entitled. Yeah.
He couldn't accept who he was either because he had to have an alter ego just to feel like he was excelling.
Just to get with the person he wanted, he had to genetically
makes you look at life differently now when you really fully understand it now.
And what's crazy is there was Myra Monkhouse Boudreau, who absolutely loved Steve and his dirty job.
And adored
him.
He threw her under the rug.
And was drop dead gorgeous.
She really was.
This is a big thing, though. This is really happening. They don't have the Stefan Urkel, you know, machine or whatever. But there are a lot of people who are dating someone, but the person that they actually want to be with. So I feel like it's kind of being a placeholder, but it's not fair to the other person who doesn't realize you don't really want to be here with me. You want to be somewhere else. And it's just so many things that could be. It could be so easy, but we overcomplicate it all.
It could all be so simple.
Because we start having the uncomfortable conversations first. Well, like you said in the beginning of the show, them five questions need to be, how uncomfortable are you with being uncomfortable?
That's real, though. And okay, so asking vetting questions prior to dating. If you're comfortable with the answers, move on to date number one. And if after being at, and honestly, it's just rinse and repeat. Now that you're on date number one, ask some more vetting questions and observe. Now I can see you in person.
There, like, you go. That's your trial and error. That's your data.
How do you treat the waitress? Were you on time? If you weren't on time, did you let me know? Pay attention to those little things. Don't just be so
body language.
Up in,
oh,
and body language. Yeah, body language and tone are definitely two different things.
Right. Yes. Is he engaged? Can he take a joke? Like, observe these things and then move accordingly.
Yourself, or is he just talking about himself for 2 hours straight? Has he asked you one question? I saw that was a thing on TikTok a while back, and all the women were coming from the date saying the men were not asking them anything about themselves. They just talked the whole time. So
self-absorbed
too. Yes. And that's a thing. Can you see a life with someone who is all about themselves? Would you want to have children with someone who is all about themselves? Don't be so caught up in, I'm so glad that I'm finally on a date. Yay, there's potential here. And I know that's hard, especially when you want to get chose. You want to be a wife. And no one's saying that's a bad thing to want, but don't let your want, you know, blind your judgment. Discernment is there for a reason. Like, I don't think, you know, for all my believers out there, I don't think God does not want you to have what you want to have. But that feeling in your stomach that something is off, listen to it. And it doesn't make you a bad person if you decide not to move forward with it. You know, women are very conditioned to be polite. And it's seen as impolite if I don't want to, you know, take you up on your advances, or I feel like this isn't going anywhere. And then you got to deal with this dramatic response of someone who wasn't taught to hear no. And I just cannot believe it. What's going on? What did I do wrong? You know, and it wasn't nothing. We just not compatible, and that's okay.
Yes.
Now you got a whole lifetime mini movie on your hand because you said no. Nobody tells me no. My mom says always accept yes. Nah, get some therapy. You need to work that out.
Oh my goodness! So
nobody wants a stalker, bro. It does not look good.
And also,
if you aren't dating and you end up with someone like, you know, you just described, you haven't even had the chance to gauge this person's sanity at all. Maybe y'all did Netflix and chill and roll straight into a relationship. Now when something happens, you're shocked because
you shook it.
Person at all.
I'm going to tell you what you want to do on that date. Go ahead and watch What's Love Got to Do with It and just study Ike the whole movie. It'll change your life. I'm telling you now.
Oh my. So, and another thing is the conversation that really got this whole thing going, the whole war that was going on the other day on the internet, was a man had reposted a post that was saying women don't need to be in relationships 4 or 5 years to know, or men don't need to know. That sort of conversation is what came. So this is more so to my ladies. If reciprocation isn't there, this isn't your person. I think we've kind of been taught to stick it out and ride or die. Chick is the first thing you think of when you hear that. Like, women have really been conditioned to go through the fire to get whatever that goal is, to get that man, to get that husband. But in all honesty, you only get the one life that we know of for sure. And years, you know, and we know there are exceptions, because anytime we talk about this, there's always the person that comes out, well, my mom and dad dated for 25 years and they've been married for 50. That's your parents. More often than not, when you are getting strung along, it, like my sister said, it is exactly what it looks like. Some people walk into a relationship based on what they can get out of a person. Completely agree, Tasha. So if you're doing all the things and you notice the things are not being done back, exit stage left and be okay with that. I used to feel like I put in work here and I'm going to get a return on my investment. Like, if I didn't been here, I didn't been through the fire, I didn't helped you move, I didn't get you rides, I've been da-da-da-da, ain't no way I'm not getting, but I did the work to get to collect the data, and the data says, oh, you don't reciprocate. So I did get what I paid for, whether I felt like, whether it was what I wanted or not. I still, now do I receive it? What I do with it, with what I do with that information, is up to me. You can't be a victim if you nailing yourself to the cross.
Well, that's like the lady who the guy asked her to marry him. You saw it just like I did, like 10 years later. And she says, no, I wanted the ring 5 years ago. She had become complacent with the way things were with them within the 10 years that they've been together, that when he did ask her to marry him, she was like, no, I wanted this 5 years ago. And you're asking me now at year 10, I don't want to be married. I'm okay with the way things are now. He could not accept that she didn't want to marry him. Mm. Well, she accepted that he hadn't asked 5 years ago, but he couldn't accept that she said, no, I got where she was coming from. Okay, I'm okay with the way things are with us right now. We've been doing this for 10 years. I'm okay with it. I get her point of view on it. I didn't get his, because he was upset that she didn't say yes.
Now he feels played and entitled.
He feels played and entitled and wants to end the relationship, and she's okay with continuing their relationship just like it is.
And it's hard to sympathize, sis, because when someone shows you who they are, to quote Maya Angelou, believe them. Right. Believe, like, our good sister left that word with us. I used to have it up on my wall and still would not believe these Negroes when they showed me who they were. Right. If you're asking questions, remember those hard questions, like, hey, when are we going to get married? Mm-hmm. Where is this going? And you are not getting clear answers that you are comfortable with. Now the ball is in your court. You're not a victim any longer if you've received the data and you are not doing what you need to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
You're now an accomplice. You're now still cool with it. What'd you say, Carmen?
I'm still on the next bus. I just really...
Well, it takes time to get there, because, like I said, I don't mind letting people know. I have been strung along before for years with an S. And it was really... Yeah, was that person shitty for streaming along? Sure. But I have to take my own accountability, because it's not his fault. I didn't know my worth and value enough to be like, you know what? What you're offering me is not what I want, so I'm going to leave. No, I had put in work. I had invested. I had prayed. I had talked to God about it. This is supposed to be my husband. And it just wasn't turning out that way, because people have free will. And we have to accept that people got free will.
God is like, I don't know why.
God is looking like, I don't know what you're talking about. What?
I never told her nothing.
I heard one pastor say it best. If God can't even force people to choose him, who are we to think that he can make people choose us? Even being a Christian is a choice. So who are we to think, oh, this is my husband for sure. I put in all this work. It's going to turn out. It may not.
Nope. Work. Dream deferred, because it's going to go the exact opposite. Why? Because you were so trained that was the one, when the one you really wanted was mopping floors in the back of Burger King. I'm just saying.
But because of society, you didn't want the one from Burger King. You wanted the one bleeding the block or something, like, you know.
Exactly.
The white collar person. You didn't want the Burger King guy.
No, you don't want nobody that's built for struggle.
Yeah, but society says he doesn't make enough money, so you don't want him. But you'll take this person with this untaxable income that could leave at any day. Oh, yeah. It's in the house.
Yes, Sydney, we're talking to you. Do better with your life. Make better decisions. Right, get the next bus, also, like old girl say, get on the next bus and click.
Also, like what you said about the guys having expectations, we as women can't expect to, I don't know, come up after years of struggle or any type of prize. There's no type of prize for being strung along. You just have to take your L and
go. That's it.
Would I want to continue on if nothing changes in our situation? Would I want to continue on like this? If the answer is no, then it's time to go. Like, I can only be upset at myself. Yeah, he's acting a fool. But I'm still showing up here every day. Like, I enjoy it. So
he's not holding a gun to your head. You are right. And again, we know there are exceptions. We know that your daddy didn't have no job when your mama got with him and they struggled together and
let that trauma go.
Became millionaires.
Stop trying to build off of that. See, that's the problem. You want to mimic that and hold that to every nook and cranny. Let it go.
This joker is
build your own
dad.
Love story. Build your own love story. If it fails, it fails. If it flies, it flies. But agreed. You did it on your own two feet. Take accountability for failure.
Agreed.
Be okay to accept rejection. Be okay with not being okay in this relationship. Okay, we gave it 6 months. I gave it 6 months. I don't see no progress. It's time to walk away.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
Yes.
Damn, mic drop right there, DJ Steady.
I'm just saying, people are too complacent with being complacent with what's not working.
Agreed.
Like, Cole, any day now, he's going to be that charming. Like, I understand, you know, coal eventually turns into a diamond, but pressure eventually busts pipes. You keep thinking that you revving up this engine, thinking any day that's going to be my knight in shining armor, and all you keep getting is the Coy Chester because he don't know how to wise up. Or vice versa,
shows
she.
You who they are.
Right.
You can only wear a mask. So let's say you ask the vetting question, because I had somebody say this in one of the chats where we were talking about this sort of thing. Let's say you ask the vetting questions. Okay, people do lie. That is part of human nature, unfortunately. But you can only, if you're looking for the truth, a person can only hide it for so long.
So
you can only keep a mask on for so long.
Absolutely. By the third date, you're going to realize that everything they said they was ain't going to be it. They done told you they coming in a Rolls Royce and they done pulled up in a Honda Civic flag.
Right, because if you're listening, they're going to tell you the truth eventually.
In that
you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it eventually. I mean, if you're paying enough attention to that person that you're vetting or trying to get to know or dating, eventually they'll start telling little bits of the truth.
Yes.
And it's up to you to catch it. But, I mean, it's going to be told because they can't keep a lot in. I know me as a person, I just can't keep the same lie forever. If I may lie to you over the phone, but if you're in my face, I just can't lie to you face to face. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's going to come out.
It's going to come out. And don't be scared to ask the questions because you don't want to run. That's me. I don't want to run away off. Don't want to seem like I'm coming on too strong. If that person is for me, they will respect it and reciprocate it.
Right.
They know how to establish boundaries. All right, bro, you need to back up. All right, sis, you got to take it easy. You like to text me at 7 o'clock. I don't wake up till like 10. So you ain't getting a good morning right at the crack of dawn. Or you might get a good morning as far as it's going to go.
Right. That's one of those vetting questions. Like, what is your communication style? Because like you said, if you're getting upset with me because I'm still asleep at 8 o'clock and you didn't send me 3 messages and I'm getting cursed out on my lunch break, I never said I was no morning person or that I'm even up.
Right.
Never. It was
but
never
you didn't
established.
Ask anyway, so.
You assumed. Erase the assumption. Get to the facts.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did have a question for you guys. What are some good first date vetting questions?
Everything we just asked the other night.
Shoot. Well, what are some good questions to ask? Okay, this is a better one. What are some good questions to ask prior to the first date to avoid these ghost dates and these dates going wrong? What are the questions you should ask up front? Let the people know.
Ladies first.
I don't know. I feel like we just gave so many.
Yeah. See, I told her exactly everything.
I guess gonna put it like in a little nutshell for the people that's just catching the end.
Mental health? We're gonna say, how's your mental health? Like, how are you mentally then? You know what I'm saying? Are you about to mentally crack? Because sometimes you can get a person and they read at the point where they vow just ready to. No. So first of all, I want to see how he is mentally. Secondly, I want to know, let's take me down a pipeline of how your last relationships work. Like, how I need to know, because there's two sides to every story, but hey, I can't just go on. I caught her cheating and I just flipped out and left. No. What did you do to encourage the cheating? What were you not doing?
My encouragement team. What kind of first date would you like to go on? Like, I'm thinking about it. It turned out to be a skit, but it had the internet in an uproar where the guy took the girl to the basketball seats and they were so high up she could turn around and ask Jesus for a piece of gum.
Oh, I remember that.
And the girl left because she said the seats were crap. Did she even like basketball? Or is this something you wanted to do? Right. Ask those questions up front. Don't just assume someone's going to be flattered because you brought them to an alligator park and they got, you know, they break out in hives when they're in grass. Ask the questions up front. It shows consideration.
I think they go back to what Carmen said in the beginning. I should have at least been on the phone with you for quite a while before this first date to know enough about you to plan the first date.
Because I don't know if it's a Virgo in me or what, but I'm an observer. I listen when my partner speaks. Right. So I buy gifts, plan dates according to what I've heard that you like. Mm-hmm. Even if there's stuff I don't like. Because that's just me. I'm not saying you have to be that way. But consideration is, if you're not ready to be considerate, you shouldn't be dating anyway.
There you go. At all. Right. If you feel sheltered, you still need time to what we call heal and work on stuff. Work on it. Nobody says come in there broken, like, because that other person's broken as well. But at some point, we got to make the most beautiful stained glass ever, because it ain't going to be the original when we're done. But we're going to weather this storm. Like, we're going to put it together.
I am dealing with no more stained glass. Thank you. Come whole or do not date. And we're going to vet it out.
Don't nobody care.
Right.
I am done with the Bob the Builder stages. But
right.
I respect that, though.
For the men that feel like they getting played out of dates and getting ghosted, and the women really just in their phone taking selfies, ask up front, do you engage during dates or are you more so in your phone? If that's a trigger for you, if that's going to have you on the internet making posts saying these bees don't want us for none but our money, ask up front. Do you engage in dates? Like, what's your love language? Because I'm a quality timer, so I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to put my phone down. Will you get upset if I have my phone? It's sad that that has to be asked, but to avoid getting sued, are you comfortable if I check it? Like, it shouldn't have to be asked, but...
Especially if you're a person with kids, like, let that be established. Like, I only keep my phone on active mode in case something happened with the kids. But other than that, my attention is all yours.
Facts. Because I don't know, you might be dealing with abandonment issues, or it might trigger you if you feel like you're being ignored. And here I am getting walked out on or cussed out, and I don't know what's going on. So please know yourself. That's part of the, if you will, dating game. Enough people really don't know themselves. And then we get on this date and you didn't got triggered by something. We don't know what's going on. So know what's a deal breaker for you and not. I can't deal with a person that's not attentive. Okay, well, I like to be on my phone. I'm fidgety when I get nervous, so I may not be for you.
And that's why we give the guy that rattles on a second date, because he may be just giving me nervous chatter. Yeah. I would give him a second date. The one that goes on and on and on, because it just may be nervous chat with him. So I would give him the second date. Now, if it's
first date, I'm very nervous on the first one.
Gotcha. Because I am too. I may overtalk it.
So, I might get quiet. Yeah, I'm like, once I feel comfortable, because I'm actually a very shy person. So once I feel comfortable and like I can be myself, then I'll be myself. But if you awkward too, I guess we both just kind of awkward. What I like to do is bring Uno. It's the universal icebreaker. Everybody's quiet and twiddling their thumbs till the Uno cards come out. Then it's on.
Ain't lying.
So I put it in my purse on the first date and be like, do you know how to play Uno? It's on now. So now we're talking and now we're vibing. But that's just something I do. You don't have to, you know, take a deck of Uno cards with
But icebreakers is good to have. Like, I love music. So in the midst of that, if I get too bored, I might play some songs like, oh, that's my jam. Then we get to talking about who's your favorite artist. And now we done moved somewhere. Like, that's the perks of dating a DJ. Like, if I can't think of nothing, my music gonna do the talking for me.
Lord. And also for the uncomfortable with paying for dates or feeling like they can play, ask that up front. Are you, like we said earlier, are you comfortable with paying for dates? Do you mind, you know, if I put together a free date, maybe we can go to the museum instead of I was testing you.
I'm going to fail every time you do it. I'm going to fail. Take me to the park. Do something free. Take me to the park.
Let's go to the duck pond. Anything.
You feel me? Duck pond.
Duck pond picnic. Let's do something.
Everybody got a little food stamps. We're gonna meet halfway. Look, hey, I'm gonna mix these sandwiches up. Can you bring some Kool-Aid? We just go to the park and just have a nice little time on some stuff we met 50-50 on.
Right. So for the fellas out there that's watching, that this keeps happening to you, we have given you questions to ask, because after a while you got to take some accountability. If five women in a row didn't use you for your money, it's time for some self-reflection.
First of all, if you
stop bragging,
the problem is you. Yes.
What are you expecting from these dates?
Stop bragging, because a lot of times you're getting used because you're doing a lot of bragging. You're doing a lot of talking.
Getting used. Sometimes people are just difficult to date. And of course, if you are that person, you're not going to be like, dang, I'm difficult to date.
Nobody's going to publicly say it. No, not at all. You're just going to blame it on some childhood trauma and try to. Nobody wants to take the accountability. It's accountability.
It's much easier to say, oh, women just want to use men for money, which you know is not true. You've dated women before that didn't want no money.
Bull crap. We got to change that narrative.
I've made it publicly known dating me is like working for Suge Knight and being part of Death Row Records sometimes. I mean, sometimes you got to just be upfront with people. You just like me, I have, because of my past, I have zero tolerance for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're just going to be able to call me, text me, or we meet up somewhere and you bullshit me, BS me. We're not going to have that. I mean, I'm just going to be upfront with you like, hey, you know, this is giving me some signs that I don't like. This is not what I want to enroll in. But you don't have people that are that honest anymore. You have people that are going to sit there, they're going to take the free meal, and they're going to be like, girl, I ain't never calling him no more. Now he done blew your phone up 32 times, and you think he crazy when you was the one, you know?
Well, okay, and like Carmen was saying earlier with that, because unfortunately there is a spirit of entitlement that is running rampant in dating safety first, especially to my ladies. If you have to go through with the date and wait until you are somewhere safe, because ninjas will leave you.
Yes.
Ninjas will leave you. So sidebar to my ladies real quick, and men too, whatever. But this is mostly amongst ladies. Always have Uber and Lyft downloaded on your phone. If you can, drive yourself and let somebody know where you are, because everyone was not taught to say no. I mean, everyone was not taught to receive a no. Everyone was not taught that. Oh, it ain't going the way I wanted to. Blase, 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 blase. So wait until you are somewhere safe, and then you can text, or you can. I'm not against ghosting. Some people know what they did, and they don't need no explanation. Or the ghosting is the explanation. Like, don't try to read into it. If this person is not hitting you up anymore, that's the data you were looking for. Apparently, they're not interested because I'm not hearing from them anymore.
Share your location.
Yes, ladies.
For sure.
With a trustworthy person.
Because
create double dates or little party date parties. Like, hey, look, we're gonna be at this restaurant. Y'all should pop up and something.
Make it public. Like, yeah, save that net. Oh, you don't want, you too high maintenance. You don't want Netflix and chill. Mm-mm. I guess I am, sir. I'm only doing public. I don't, for me personally, we can do by the lake, you know, I don't mind that, but we're gonna be in public. And if have to be at your house, then you're not my person, because I'm real big on respecting boundaries.
Oh yeah. I shouldn't be at your house on the first date. I shouldn't be in your personal space like that on the first date. That's just my opinion.
And we know there is an exception. We know you met she came over your house and you cooked for her the first time. Mm-hmm. And y'all been married for 7 years, and that's good for y'all. But I would not recommend no lady or anybody, because bees is crazy too. So I would not recommend anybody go over to anyone's personal living space unarmed at that. If they do not know this person, like that stage is a process, and you're on stage 3 on the first date. No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
So like we said before about being a good fit and the compatibility, there may be someone who wants this same thing you're offering. It's not me, but there's there for you. You need to get with that person and Netflix and chill or whatever together, instead of trying to force your way onto someone who's not interested. I think so people would just get together with the other, whatever it is, 50-50. Agreed. You're wanting.
Nobody wants to be strong alone either. Nobody wants to be the one where I'm just doing this so that person's attention can finally break down and they can finally realize they can stop doing that. Stop.
I want to comment on what both people said, because I actually had that written down here. I agree with Carmen. Dating could be very simple if people just got with people who share their morals and values. If you are the type of person that you believe everything should be 50-50, there are plenty of women, plenty, who agree with you and share that thinking. Stop trying to make squares circles. You are not a geometer. Stop the madness. If this person is a square, you chiseling away at them and yelling and arguing them down into circlehood isn't going to work. That's not your person. But you don't want that. You want the challenge of saying that I took a square and made it a circle because I'm that nigga. No. Go get you a square. You looking over, Miss Square.
I saw something recently, and I'm going to quote it wrong, but it said that some people are like exotic bird catchers. They want these glam girls or high maintenance or whatever. They want them just to say that they got them, but then they want.
Of course.
They have them, and I just don't think that's fair. Like I said, you need to find whoever is on the same time that you're on, and y'all just be happy together.
Be happy together.
It's easier.
Completely agree.
And do a little research, because everybody has social media. Do a little research on the person. Go see what they post on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok. Look and see who they're friends with. Like, look more into them when you do meet them, because everything's so public now. It's not like a lot is hidden. You can find out more about a person by scrolling through their Facebook, TikTok, or Instagram than you will getting it out of them verbally.
And I do. I do.
Yeah.
I go through. Mm-hmm. If I'm nosy. Your page and I see things that I don't agree with, especially after I've asked my vetting questions and this don't line up with what you told
mm-hmm. me. Because you could tell me you love women and I go down your page and every other post is, they ain't
this
nothing.
Ain't shit, but
they ain't nothing. That's it. So I know one thing, this ain't going to be for me, because this is how you really feel about women.
And I'm not, no. And there, but there is a woman out there who we call them pick me's, but they adore men like you. They want to prove that they are not like other women. They exist. Yeah. So quit trying to make circles in the squares and vice versa. You know, if this guy is showing you that he ain't nothing but a thuggish, ruggish bone, and you sitting here really trying to make him be romantic, jantic, girl, go get you a square.
Right.
And leave that circle where he at. That, you know, this. You're overlooking Mr. Square that you probably have a lot of things, no pun intended, but you're overlooking Mr. Square that you probably have a lot of things in common with and can build a beautiful life with, trying to make a circle a square. All these hot takes, all these skits will really go to hell if people just got with like-minded people.
Oh yeah, of course.
You don't think cheesecake is a, you done passed up three women that would be perfectly fine with the cheesecake.
Take me.
Trying to cuss out the sister that don't do the cheesecake.
Take me.
She's just not your person. If Cheesecake Factory is your absolute favorite place to take a woman, and that's your favorite restaurant, and she don't want to go, she's not for you. It really is that simple.
And apparently they don't eat that, because Cheesecake Factory high as hell. I don't know what Cheesecake Factory they was eating at. I'm just saying.
Like, my favorite restaurant is IHOP. So, but that's me. I'm not going to come push my IHOP, and women and my mm-hmm. and men among the dialect between each other needs to change as well. Just because I'm okay with 50-50, just because I'm okay with IHOP and cheesecake, doesn't mean I need to come on here with my 50-50 warrior vest on and be like, you bees ain't about nothing. Y'all want a man to pay all the bills. You need to be more like me. No, there's a man out there that will pay your bills.
Mm-hmm. It just ain't me. I'm just saying.
And that doesn't make what you want right or what I want wrong. It's just exactly. different.
Yeah, we just have different preferences.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I think the hot takes and the problems come in when people are trying to push their way of thinking on others.
Facts. Take your 9 to 5, leave me and my SSI over here in a man corner. That's all I'm saying.
And then we also have to get out of the thought of the first date has to be a dinner. It could be a long walk in the park. It could be ice cream. It could be anything.
Us just having intimate conversation.
Right. Really just being in each other's presence in public, publicly in each other's presence. But yeah. It doesn't have to always be at a restaurant. Maybe you can go out for a long walk in the park and agree on dinner during the long walk. I think they just started out all wrong sometimes.
Yeah, high maintenance. Okay. We automatically create that image right there, right? Because you thinking, dang, I got to take this person out. So I got to go get fly.
I have to go get my hair cut.
Right. You have to the new J's. Look so expensive. You have to do all this. And then you complaining about a $40 meal.
You spent more money.
Thank you.
Yeah, you spent more money preparing for the date than you did on the date. Yeah.
And then you have to complain about
$40. I like getting cute for dates.
I do.
There's nothing wrong with that, but make sure it's something that's manageable is all I'm saying.
You don't have to go.
You want to go Red Lobster her on a first date, and she might not even like Red Lobster. You know what I'm saying? We got these fantasies.
Have the conversations for sure. Have them up front. Like, if I like that's why one of my questions is, are you in a place financially, you know, a financial place comfortably? Because I don't want you coming over here and playing puppet master and trying to put on a show for me, because I'm telling you that curtain is going to fall and then I'm going to be confused. So,
and that's the most overlooked woman. It's that woman that's going to ask you that uncomfortable question. Like, you feel like she in your business because she asked you a question like that. Like, are you financially stable? it's a generalized question. Like, I don't want to be riding with you and you trying to bet your half a tank and we get to our destination, your half a tank already on E, and you looking at me like, well, I drove us here, you got to at least get us the gas to go back. Establish boundaries and communication, people.
I agree, completely agree. And it's different. Life happens. So we know life happens. But if you are coming into the date with life kicking your ass, you should not be
dating. Yeah, you shouldn't be on a date.
You're not dating for no.
Immediately. Pause the dating side of your life, because obviously that's the reason why it wasn't working, because you put your priority on date first, life second.
I was second. Just going to say, that show, what that shows to me is that your priority, and I've been there before, so I'm the only reason I can say this with comfortability is because I've been there.
I've been there. Probably still there right now. I ain't ashamed of it.
Car breaking down, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going on a date. Man, I had to get a jump on a date once. Like, my priorities were not in order at all. Mm-hmm. So during your single season, which is another conversation for another day, handle those things so this first date isn't breaking you. If this $40 is going to be the difference between rent and not having the rent paid on time.
Pay your rent.
I don't think you should be dating right now.
Yeah.
And do a virtual date. Look here, you can call me on Facebook. You got an iPhone, we can FaceTime and we'll work this out along the way.
I agree with William said, I think dating has to slow down. Some people want to become exclusive too quickly. And
yes. You already want to rock, like you know, said earlier. You already want to call, that's wifey, that's hubby already. And it's, and you ain't even had 30 days
exclusive.
In.
Yeah, not even exclusive. They want whatever the reward is. Sometimes that is a sexual encounter. Something, it's okay to, yes, life is short, but some things it's all right to take your time with. Like, you probably not going to get none on this date, sir. And if I never hear from you again because of that, then I still got the data I needed. But if we go into it, first of all, but I guess
somewhere down the line, we're going to respect that woman, though. I feel like, for me, if it's on the tape at the first date, I'd be like, dang, by the time I'm on that date where I can see consistency, you'd be like, you know what? That first date I had with so-and-so really taught me a lot. Because now I don't go in with my mind thinking, oh, sex is going to be the end result. Now I go in and be like, damn, sometimes just having a nice little drink and a simple conversation and we saying goodnight over the phone works wonders.
Yeah, that's right. That learning experience.
That's
and also not shaming any women that, by all means, if you came with it on your mind and he's complicit, y'all are adults, you got the rubber, do what you need to do. But please do. But the idea that, oh, I just spent this 2 for $20 at Chili's, she better be dropping something. We need to unlearn that.
I'm buying Patron all night. She done drunk all the
drinks. She better.
Right. Stop measuring it like that. First of all, again, it goes back to getting your priority together. Because that stuff you did in your 20s and all that early stage of, let me show you how quick I can do so. Like, once you start getting up in your 30s, you realize you want to date for comfortability, not think for a quick night.
Unfortunately, I found out on a date last year that they have apps for prostitution, and this man I was on a date with told me about it on the first. So that kind of let me know you're frequenting the apps. He also knows just how many women in this area were prostitutes, and this is our first date. So
red flags all over this. Yeah. Continue.
This is going to work out because, sir, obviously you're expecting something from me.
Yeah.
You're frequenting the apps, multiple apps you've got downloaded.
It's like, too invested. No, that's too invested. And then he's telling you, hey, look, you spin the block right here, I know a couple of people.
He don't even know his level of satisfaction. He got every app.
Lord have mercy. But I will say this. I actually was thinking about that the other day. If you have been conditioned to believe that when you exchange currency that you should get sex, I have to agree with the sir. Get a prostitute. I don't know why that is. Pay a sex worker. There are literally people whose job it is to exchange for money. So why would you come on this date with a regular woman expecting prostitute behavior? Get a prostitute.
That's overboard.
Exchange encounter. You're collecting information. So just on the first date, I realized he's a John. I guess you would call it. He's a John. He was also homosexual. I mean, I'm sorry, homophobic. He was also homophobic. Like, so many red flags. And I could have been like, well, we're at Anthony's Steak and Seafood. This is such a beautiful evening. And ignore all the things he said, but instead I was like, okay, obviously, well, I'm not a prostitute, so obviously I'm not a good fit for what he's offering. And needless to say, we didn't go out. He reached back out like a month after we had stopped talking to say, I thought he was gonna be like, you know, I wish I would have, I don't know, handled it better, or I'm so glad that we met. He said that he, I'm so ashamed to say. Basically, he wanted to just bring the idea back around about him wanting to have sex with me. And I was like, you know, this is exactly why we're not talking in the first place.
We would have reiterated, you didn't meet me on one of those dating sites. I wasn't on that app, so you know that's not me.
But honestly, I can appreciate the being upfront, because I would rather you just be upfront with your intentions so that I can tell you no, instead of this pretending and dragging along and I'm thinking you some great guy that's looking for something real.
He would have scared the hell out of me talking about sex workers and all of that. I would have been scared.
The answer would have been
I'm sorry. I would have been scared.
So calmly, like it's a normal thing. Like we're talking about toasting bread. So he's saying it so calmly, I knew you've been doing it for a long time. You're speaking first day about this. And I just wonder what my facial reaction was saying. I wish I would have been recording, because sir.
Now that's a skit. Some of this stuff really could be a skit. Keisha, everything okay over there?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I was just checking.
But this same person was 42, saying he was ready to get married, looking for a queen to build a life with, but came on the first date talking about, you don't realize how many prostitutes are in the area. So,
wow. No, sir, you sound like you need a corner and you're trying to become a pimp.
And he was 40. He was 42.
More. Right.
Gosh. Yeah.
On one hand, I am not shaming anybody that uses, I think you should use sex workers instead of going on date with average women who really are looking for something. If you genuinely just want cat in exchange for your dollars, if that is your thinking, I would see the sex workers, but not come on my dates.
Right, because if you're buying the meal anyway, you're still going to spend money. Just go ahead and eliminate the meal and the conversation and go do what you need to do.
But you know what? Somebody in the comments just said those kind of dudes are hella buddy. And I think that's something that needs to be unlearned too. I want the stigma around men using sex workers to go away. And I think that would cause less rape. I think it would cause less assault. I think that would cause less dates where people are expecting you to drop your draws if you had a comfortability with not being ashamed of getting a prostitute when you need one. But there's such a stigma around it. No, go get you Miss Kitty for $100. Somebody's echoing. But go get you Miss Kitty for $100 if you got it. Because I work at the library. I just wanted to go on a date. Like, you know, so another conversation for another day. That sounded like it was very strange and odd and would make for a good skit. Like, for real, for real.
Very much so, yeah.
But you cannot, like, let's unlearn bringing sex worker exchange type deal thinking on some normal date with non-sex workers.
And no offense to that part. I mean, like, that was his preference. I was interested in what he was offering. So for that reason.
Okay, so pause right quick. Someone headphones is out or something, because we're echoing. Is everybody good? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Carmen.
So that plus so many other red flags. I'm just glad that I was able to recognize the red flags as deal breakers instead of saying, well, he has a great job. You know, he doesn't have kids of his own. He has all these things. I had to just take inventory of all the things I was hearing and realize this is not a good fit for me. No matter how nice and kind he was or whatever, it just was not a good fit. So,
right. Mm-hmm. I respect that for sure. And that's something I kind of had to, I think a lot of women had to learn, people in general, you have to learn to stop looking at the potential and see what's in front of you. Like I used to have to literally say certain things out loud because I was very big on reading between lines. So I would have to say, okay, this person is not committing to me. That's what's happening. Forget what they saying. Forget the little, the breadcrumbs they drop in. What is actually happening is X, Y, Z. And like, I at one point I had to say those things out loud because I would wait for that person to confirm it. Like, you'll ask them, like, where is this going? What exactly is going on? And you're getting these bullshit answers. Because you're not hearing the exact, no, I don't want to be with you. No, I'm not going to marry you. No, this isn't going anywhere. To us, sometimes anything other than a no is a yes. When in actuality, anything other than a yes is a no. So it does take time to get to that place where you stop looking at the potential and just look at what it is and be like, okay, yes, he's funny. Yes, he's kind. Yes, he has a good job. Yes, he's good with kids, blah, blah, blah. But he did say XYZ, and I think he meant that. Or he does do XYZ, and I believe he's telling the truth, you know, so.
Even if a person has all those good qualities, I still weigh my options on how they contribute to my life as well. Like, where do they fit into my life? What is the contribution to my life? Whether it be knowledge, whether it be understanding, something, they still contribute something to your life. So it's not about it's not about the good job. It's not about this. It's not about that. I still want to learn from somebody that I'm with. Agreed. I want to, yeah.
Yeah, if that's like one of your things, and that comes from knowing yourself, if one of your things is I need to be with someone I can learn with, and you are coming to find this nigga don't know nothing, then that's not your person.
Right.
You know, I'm not learning nothing from you. You can't tell me nothing about credit. You can't give me a recipe, nothing. I'm not learning nothing from you.
Right.
Okay, you're not for me. But you're nice, though. And I think sometimes when you are so used to being strung along or not even committed to or even being in something healthy, when you get in something healthy, even if everything isn't there and there are red flags, you'll still kind of stay because at least this is better than what I am used to.
Yeah. Which back around to decentering romantic relationships and having a good relationship with yourself first. I know that people don't like to hear self-love because it doesn't replace the love from a partner. But when you're good with you, you won't just sit up and deal with any old thing. You'll be like, you know what? I was cool at the house watching my movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying the company with myself more than this. So why would I continue on with this when I'm good with me? And once I got to that point, I mean, I don't feel like it's rude. I feel like we're just not wasting each other's time.
Hey,
this was cool. We had a nice time, but we are looking for two totally different things. You're over here, I'm over there, and I'm not asking you to change. We just want different things out of life right now, so I don't feel the need to continue on. Let's not force it.
Right.
Let's just,
agree.
Yeah.
And that definitely comes back to us, you know, first of all, we got to instill it in our children so they go out into the world with the self-love and the understanding that, okay, my first priority is to make a life that I actually want to live and enjoy. And that way, like Carmen said, I won't just let any old body up in my space because I like my life. I enjoy my company. I'm having time over here. Like,
you come
with this drama, this foolishness, this for what? To say I have a girlfriend? To say I have a boyfriend? To possibly get married? No, because we need to teach our children that the love of, I hate to say, but yes, self-preservation is more important than being in a relationship.
Because when you have a good, stable foundation within yourself, you'll be able to quickly recognize, like I told the story about the Waffle House incident, because my life was calm and smooth, you know, before this person came along, I could instantly see this is causing ripples and waves in my day-to-day. I wasn't here before. And I have to wonder what's going on. It's you. So it was easy for me to say, okay, hey, we, you know, I'm sorry. We are not this fit, and my life and my peace are more important than what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that. For sure, for sure. And men and women alike, like, build a life that you love that's a love you. First of all, I think before you even start dating, a lot of people don't even like or love themselves, and you're asking someone else to do something that you are not even doing. You don't even like yourself. What are you doing dating?
Oh yeah, some people are selfish.
You don't like the way you look. You don't like your life. You feel like you're too fat. You this, that, third. If you don't like you, why are we expecting someone else to do so, and then getting mad at them if they don't?
Yeah.
You came through the gate setting the tone. Now, you know, it would be different. No shade, but you came in. People in the, like, okay, no shade to Miss Teresa Risa, but the con artist-y user people like him, they can spot him. They can smell that desperation on you. They know you want to be a wife. They know you want to, you know, you want a husband. And so they will say anything. You could, they already know what to say to the vetting questions. But eventually that mask started slipping. Like, even with that guy, stuff started happening that wasn't lining up. But when your desire to have a mate outweighs your common sense and outweighs your better judgment, you are going to make excuses and overlook it and be like, oh, that's not, you know, anyway, that could have been anyone, you know. Yeah, but no, it was him, and it keeps being them. And then you find yourself, you know, being used, and there's only so much blame you can put on the other person, because where were the questions? You know, why are we moving in together after a month anyway? you don't even know this man. Like, but we can't necessarily blame her, because like we said earlier, the conversations in the culture need to change. She probably was under the impression, my clock is ticking, I need to get a man. And she said that, I need a husband, I'm getting older, da 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 da. Instead of, I really like the life I have, I think I'm a beautiful person with a beautiful soul. And for someone to experience me is a privilege. Is that person deserving of that privilege?
Right.
And if the answer is no, then I will remain single. So I think if we can change some of those stigmas first, it'll make it easier for people to be comfortable with. I don't have to rush into something because it's okay if I'm not married by 30.
You got a question. It says, can men be entitled to respect and kindness as a baseline? I'd like to say no. No one owes you anything at all. I don't know this person. I don't know anything about you at all. I don't owe you anything at all. Okay. So, and the same is true for me. Like, I feel that respect is earned. I'm not going to come disrespecting you, but owe you anything.
Yeah, that's kind of like asking for entitlement right off by saying, you know, respect is earned. You have to give it to get it.
Yeah. Okay. And like Lauren Hill says, respect is just a minimum. Like, for me, that's a deal breaker. If I get with a person and they are disrespectful, the relationship is over. Like, I've just become, and once upon a time, I didn't always think that way, but at this place in life, especially like she said, if I am giving you respect, if I'm not yelling at you, I'm not cursing at you, I don't call you names, I'm kind to you, I speak softly with you, and for some reason you're under the impression that you can do something else, the friendship, whatever ship, is docked. The ship is at the shore.
Most definitely.
Because that is, no, you know. I do believe, you know, a person being a person should not even a gender thing. A person being a person is enough for them to get decent respect and kindness.
Like, yeah, human decency.
Exactly.
Human decency is one thing.
Right.
But I don't owe you submission and worship and idolization just because you're a man who happened to pay $40 for dinner. So I don't know if that's what he was asking or not. But what would make a man unworthy of basic
respect? Basic respect is for everybody. It's just not man titled. It's basic respect is across the board for men and women. I wouldn't necessarily label it as what would make a man unworthy of basic respect. I feel like basic respect is given or granted to everybody until the line is crossed to where you don't have the basic respect for a person.
Right. And also, I would say to that man, because like we
talked about, should be labeled.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, you cannot nail yourself to a cross and call yourself a martyr. I would ask that young man, why doesn't he know his worth and value enough to be out of a place where he's not being respected? Right. Why are you tolerating? If you know that you're a good and decent person and you're doing the right thing, why are you staying somewhere longer than you should where you are being disrespected? Now, I'm only saying men because he's asking about men. But same is for ladies, you know. I think part of being a decent person is we were taught to be kind and to take a lot of, like, kind people don't tell people no. Kind people don't shut people down. Well, that's not true. And we need to unlearn that as well. And in dating as well. So.
And sometimes kind people are pushed to the limits of where they have to be
disrespectful.
Disrespectful. And that's because people have taken their, as we've learned, kindness for their weakness or a weakness.
Yeah.
So yeah, we definitely touched on a lot. We gave you guys some good vetting questions to ask for a first date. Just to run over them really quickly, what kind of first date would you like to go on? Do you engage during dates? Are you actually single? Things of that nature. Asking those questions up front, unapologetically, will probably save you a lot of money and heartache if money is what you are concerned about. And also, I hate to call it a game, but it's a process. Just move accordingly. I think when we get tired and deflated in dating is when we gave too much too soon. If you're at the point where you feel exhausted and you just don't want to do this anymore, I think you're doing it wrong. And I'm not being judgy. I've just been there before, so I know what it feels like. Like, if you genuinely in your heart want to be a wife and you didn't got to a point where I'm to hell with this shit, I'm through with this, something is wrong. Either you're not getting up from the table quick enough, or you're giving way too, either way, some of that we got to take accountability for. And if you know you're not in a place where I can get up from something and leave when I need to the first time, then don't date quite yet, because there's still some work that needs to be done.
I agree.
You can drop dead tomorrow. Time is very precious. Sit here and give you another 6 months for what? When you done already made it clear you not, I'm not your person, and you're not really looking for nothing serious, no way. And when these jokers say stuff, believe them and hear it. Don't think you're going to be the one to change it. Oh, he just need a good woman. All them little Facebook, a man act right for the woman he want. A man act right. A man, a person in general is going to be who they are, period. Like, I like to think I'm a decent and kind, considerate person. I'm going to be that regardless of whether I'm in a relationship or not, or whoever my boyfriend is or not. And if you need me to be a decent and kind and good man, I don't think you should be dating.
Well said. Well said.
I definitely agree.
So, I like on this platform, you know, I'll talk about skits and hot takes, but only if we're trying to talk about solutions. And, you know, share this podcast, not just with adults, because we are still kind of figuring out, because we were left in there to dry, but that's okay. We only 250 years, you know, shy of slavery. So, it's so much that we in our adulthood are learning. And also, let some of your young people listen to this. We don't want to start that cycle all over again of, you know, entitlement and foolishness in a process that really could be very simple if we allowed it to. So that is my two cents on that. Did anyone have any anything they wanted to share or to say? I think it was summed up pretty well. I really do. So, for the ones out there that just keep getting played, they're using me for your money, ask the questions. Nobody's going to think you're a jerk, because there's somebody out there that don't mind going Dutch with you. We're tired of hearing you whine about how you're getting used for your money. So start betting. So start using the questions and betting and moving accordingly, and let it lead you to what you want. If what you genuinely want is a partner who is like-minded, then you should be fine with whatever answers you get, you know, and we'll get there. I think there's hope for us yet, and hopefully this next generation, you know, can be the ones to kind of do a little better than us and our forefathers and foremothers did, but we shall see. Oh yeah, thanks for everybody that tuned in. And before we go, did anybody want to plug anything or say anything they've got going on?
I don't have anything going on.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. If you enjoyed the show, it will be up on YouTube. Also, go ahead and subscribe. Courtney Lyric Presents is where I put the visuals at. And also, the audio will be on like Spotify, Apple, Google, things like that. But definitely thank you guys for tuning in, and God bless. Good night.
Good night.